The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn, plan that wedding.
Hello. Thank you for joining us. You know, Michelle and I talk a lot together, but the Yawa is only a once a month situation. Like, I feel like always happy to be back for a Yawa, even though I talk to you and see your face like almost every day. The listeners only hear us do this once a month. It's our bread and butter.
Yes. Yawa. Once a month, it is something that we look forward to, and it always makes me like realize now, you know, okay, this is a month has passed. Here we are, and this has been a really for the podcast a monumental. I feel like kind of a monumental first quarter for us. You know, in November, it will have been 5 years, Christy, that we have been
doing
this.
Holy shit.
Right?
And 5 years every single week. That's a commitment that I would have been like, we can't do that. Can't do that. There's not enough wedding stuff.
There is.
Turns out.
There's enough wedding stuff. But no, it's been a great first quarter in that, you know, we're growing, our audience is growing. And by the way, if this is your first time listening, welcome. We are so happy you're listening. We think you're going to like it. I would like it if I was you.
There's something for everyone. We can say that. I mean, looking through the 247 episodes we have.
There's something
for
everyone. Search
them. Find a topic. Find what you want.
No matter, you know, what your culture, what your pronoun, what wherever you live, size of wedding, elopement,
budget,
big, huge wedding, teeny tiny wedding, virtual wedding, budget. Yes, absolutely. Budget. I mean, there's something for everyone. We are all about inclusivity here. That's the name of the game. So, but we, you know, we're kind of stoked. This has started off to be a great year. I got my first vaccine last week, by the way.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah. Super excited. Jose Luis did as well. So by the middle of next month, we will be totally vaxxed. Totally vaxxed. You got vaxxed, what, 2 months ago?
Yes. Yes. Before spring break. So beginning of March, I was very lucky. And Lance got the J&J like 3 weeks ago. Okay. So that's the one and done there. And we're good.
So great first quarter. We've had some stellar guests. You know, we had the wedding planning, you know, godfather, I feel like himself, someone who I've always followed and think is absolutely fabulous, Mr. David Tutera. That was huge for us. That was big.
He's an OG.
Yeah. He's, you know, he's fantastic. And he's just full of so much valuable knowledge and information. So that was a great episode. And we have been keeping in touch with him. So that's also very exciting. Stay tuned for that. And Jamie Lee from the new Netflix show, The Wedding Coach. I really love Jamie Lee because I love that show, Crashing. She writes for Ted Lasso. Every time you see her in stand-up, she's frigging hilarious. She jumped on our Instagram Live last weekend.
Yes. If you haven't watched that, all of our Instagram Lives are on our grid always, and you can watch. And it's basically a live Yawa. It is turned into this awesome, like, direct answering of questions. Also, we can call people up now. So it's like the three of us faces all there talking, and you should totally join us and you should watch it. And then every end of the month episode, every Wednesday we do an episode. Every end of the month, the last Wednesday, will be a Yawa just like this.
Yep.
And those are kind of the only episodes that are similar to each other.
Yeah, every single month we do one like this. So join us here. There's 247 episodes for you to go through and see what you like best. And next up is, you know, thanking these insanely generous, amazing Patreon members.
Yeah, so much of how we do this podcast rests in the fact that we have support from Patreon. So for $5 a month, which is what 95% of our patrons are.
Yeah, probably. It could be more.
Yeah.
It could be less.
It's so helpful. I mean, it really is a little monthly stipend that lets us pay an editor to help us get these shows out.
There's things we have to do to keep the website going. Like, it is an investment. So we thank our Patreon members, one especially this month, who's like, I seriously saw the email come through last night and I'm like, what? Karen. Seriously, Karen. She
Karen
upped.
H.
She
yeah.
Karen H. The best. Who bought our masterclass, by the way, and is using it, who has sent lots of comments about the masterclass to us and really been engaging, who's on our Instagram lives often. We've answered lots of Karen's questions for her wedding coming up. So Karen, thank you for that. I mean, that was really insane. Like, it was very unexpected, but so very much appreciated. You're a sweetheart. We adore you. Thank you, Karen H.
And we also have Laura T, Jordan with the YR, and Katie C. Thank you.
New Patreon members this month, which means that they get special newsletters written with a lot of time and care by Christy. And we record a bonus episode every month just for our Patreon members. Well, sometimes we do a bonus episode. Sometimes we do a live Zoom cocktail hour or coffee hour or water hour, whatever. So
you can't join unless you're drinking something.
You have to drink something, and it doesn't have to be caffeine or alcohol. Thank you to our Patreon members, and we really do. You know, whenever we do something special and new, we reach out to them. They were part of our beta group for the masterclass a year ago when we started that journey. So very special to us.
And it's a good target audience for questions, particularly when we're thinking about new content to put out, whether, you know, in one form or the other. So join us there if you're interested.
Their Lots link is on our website.
We appreciate that.
Thank you very much.
And at the beginning of a Yawa, we also do reviews.
Let's read these beautiful reviews. Yes?
Yes.
Okay.
The first one, I'll read the first one, says, it's Listen, Learn, amazing podcast, 5 stars from Cassidy O9621. Thank you. I'm so grateful for Michelle and Christy for creating such an informative and supportive community. I began listening as soon as I got engaged because, let's be honest, many of us have no idea where to start. As soon as I started listening, all the worries of, am I doing the right thing? Is this right? They all went away. I'm a COVID bride, and listening to this podcast on my daily walks during quarantine also made me feel like I was hanging out with two besties rather than stressing out about all things COVID. This has been my happy escape. Additionally, I have asked questions via Instagram to these two lovely ladies, and I was so excited to hear back from them with super helpful advice and super quickly to that matter. They are amazing. You will love them. I promise. Love you. Love your show. Heart.
Oh, I got chills.
See, I did too. They are my happy escape.
Thank Good you job. So much, Cassidy. I have chills. That's really sweet. Okay, next one, 5 stars, titled Much Needed Podcast by Denmas90. Such an encouraging podcast. With the hurdles of planning a wedding, the tricks and tips presented by these two amazing ladies is amazing. I listen to the podcasts with my fiance, and we love the insight and just the encouragement we get from each episode. Keep up the amazing content. Yos!
Yay! And
they listen together as a couple. Thank you.
I love it.
All right. Go ahead, Christy.
And the third review. Here we go. Mm-hmm. Not the greatest. One star. Wait a minute. One star?
What?
Oh, boo-hoo.
We got a one-star.
Stars. We did this time, and I want you all to listen carefully because there's some really good information here, okay? They mostly just self-promote rather than educating listeners on how to plan a wedding. You will definitely get educated on their Patreon and how to purchase their wedding templates.
We have wedding templates?
That is so interesting because how many episodes did you say we had, Michelle?
247.
Oh, right. So 247 episodes of completely free content. And I'm pretty sure we just announced the templates like 2 months ago as part of our masterclass. So that's so weird.
A digital course we've been working on for an entire year to help people plan their weddings that can't otherwise afford a wedding planner. Listen, everybody has an opinion. We appreciate you taking the time to write this review. And, you know, it's okay to have one star once in a while. So thank you. And we're going to keep doing what we're doing, though.
That's a little, like, spiky for me. But I hear what you're saying, and I appreciate your sunny disposition. Michelle.
Yeah. Yes, thank you.
We have 2 voicemails in this episode and 3 emails.
Yeah, there's a lot we have a lot of answers to these questions.
Yeah.
Yes. Who answered this one?
I think I answered all of them this week.
Okay, I'll read the question. You will answer. Hi, Michelle and Christy. Love you and love your show. I love listening to your show. Thank you for always providing such down-to-earth advice. While I do have a wedding planner to guide me through the wedding process, I'm getting married in late June. Oh, it's coming up quick. I love hearing your perspective as well. Before I dive into my quick and hopefully straightforward questions, I wanted to first let you know that the episode with Chelsea, the couple's coach, really left an impact on me. Although my fiance will not be participating with me, I contacted Chelsea and she has already helped me with easing the stress of my wedding planning so much. Who knew how much knowing my personality style and strengths could help so much when it comes to weddings and relationships? Thank you for having Chelsea on as a guest. That is so great. Also, having a coach versus a counselor or therapist makes her much less intimidating. I want to recommend all your listeners reach out to Chelsea because her help has been invaluable. That is so cool. What episode is that, Christy? Do you remember?
It's 239 and it was called Opposites Do Attract.
Yes, that was a good one when you and I took the personality test. Okay, good. Yay. Yes, reach out to Chelsea. Okay, now for my questions. 1. We have already received wedding gifts from a few eager friends and family members. Our wedding is in late June. Should we send out our thank you notes now or wait until after the wedding? It seems like a long time between now and June to not thank them for the gift. Christy, what did you say?
100% you thank them now. No reason to wait. If you have the time, it'll be nice for the givers to hear from you. Also, that's just a blanket rule. Any wedding plan, any circumstances, when you get a gift, write the thank you note right then and
send
it.
Write the thank you note. Yeah. And you can send it. Or some people, you know, we've said either send it or just write it so it's done and then send it later. But they like to know. It's totally fine to send it. Okay. Her second question. We are struggling with our wedding floor plan / flow of events. We are getting married at a hotel and everything will be outdoors. We will have the ceremony on one lawn and the dinner / reception on another lawn. For cocktail hour, we are considering adding a third location. Luckily, the hotel is somewhat small and guests won't be walking far to each location. Do you think three separate spaces is too much? Should we combine the cocktail hour and dinner reception to be in the same space, even though it will be kind of awkward or at a third location?
Yes. First, just quick note on about the thank you notes. I also think it's helpful to have a little column in your your invite list or your guest list, or just a running list on your phone of who you have sent a thank you note to. Because if you get like four gifts and then you send four thank you notes and then you get another gift the next day, you might wonder later, didn't I send that person a thank you note? And you don't want anything to get lost in the mix. Okay, so that's just a little side note on the thank you notes. Keep track. As far as the locations, because do you do this, Michelle, when you read these? If they say something like it's at a hotel and it's all going to be outside, I immediately imagine mm-hmm. a wedding I've done at a hotel where it was all outside. And then mm-hmm. I'm at that space when I'm trying mm-hmm. to work out my advice. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. that being said, I've done this before and every hotel is different and they're all laid out differently and the flow of the event is going to be different no matter what. But just giving blanket advice, I think the third location, since it's possible, is the option you should go. I think that's the best choice. People and guests like to explore and be kind of moved throughout a wedding day. If two locations is interesting and cool, then three locations is also more interesting and could be cooler. It adds to the overall experience. It gives more opportunity to create memories and to create surprises if you want, or like different vibes in different areas. Or it could just be that it helps out logistically and you don't, if you're like, I don't want to change vibes, we're not going to spend all that money. Like, that's fine too. It's just a different map and it could help logistically because the reception area won't have to be ready as early now. And the setup with the catering staff can be a little bit more spread out mm-hmm. and it allows your planner, if you have one, did she say she has one? Yes.
Yes, she does.
To spend more time focused on each area rather than, like, I've gotten into a ballroom before and you almost felt like there was like a countdown to like when it has to be ready. So the more time she has, the better. And when we can separate our division of stuff and labor to three different spaces, I think it usually makes for an easier day logistically. But thinking of your guests and yourself, I just think it adds to the experience. So if it's an option, I say you should take it.
I agree with you. I think three separate spaces is the dream and it's the goal. Logistically speaking, in your timeline, you'll need a little more buffer to move people from one space to the other, but that's not a big deal. And mm-hmm. depending on the guest count, it could be 10, maybe 15 minutes. The other logistical thing to think about is music. So you don't want any space that a guest is about to enter, you don't want it to be quiet. You want some background ambient music playing. So as an example, with my clients who are getting married in September, we do have three separate spaces. Ceremony is downstairs outside. Cocktail reception is just up some stairs, also outside, but in a different space. And then dinner is downstairs in the barrel room. This is at a winery. We are going to be hiring a guitarist who does vocals as well. And that gentleman, that artist is going to be playing guitar for the ceremony. He is going to be playing some recorded and live music for cocktails. And then during dinner and dancing, he will be playing the guitar, doing some vocals. And then he actually is also a DJ. So to make the transitions seamless, he is going to be bringing three separate sound systems. Two of them will be small, one of them will be larger for the DJ portion of things. But the reason that we're doing this is that as we ask guests to leave the ceremony, go up to cocktail reception, his assistant will be up there and we'll have the system playing some ambient background recorded music from a playlist. And then once all the guests are up there and he disconnects from, you know, his guitar playing, because he'll be playing until the last guest has left the ceremony space. Mm-hmm. Then once all the guests are up in cocktails, he will float up there, you know, very gently hook in, get ready, and start playing, you know, in at the appropriate time. So again, logistically speaking, you have to think about what you're doing in terms of music and probably have three separate sound systems. Or sometimes you can use two sound systems, but only if the ceremony sound system is more or less the same setup as what the dinner reception system will be. But it's very likely that whoever is doing the music will be bringing lots of speakers, so you will incur a little bit more expense for that. Mm-hmm. So check into it.
Good point. Good point.
Thank you very much. Okay. We got a voicemail. Let's play it.
Hi, Christy and Michelle. My name's Caitlin Hall, and I live in Portland, Oregon. And I've been listening to your podcast for quite some time. My fiance and I got engaged in fall of 2019, and we had plans for a 2021 wedding. We really wanted to have a big live band and a dance party because we met at a concert, and so we wanted to kind of give our guests that same kind of experience of dancing to a live band all together. When we initially were planning, we found this awesome venue up in the trees. It's about 40 minutes or so outside of our town that we live in Portland, and it's beautiful, but it's a little bit pricey. It's very do-it-yourself, so we're going to have a lot of vendors being willing to, like, drive up mountain roads to get to the top to set everything up and all that. And then we also will have to do some kind of shuttle to get our guests to and from the venue. So that was all well and good, and I was willing to take that on. But then when the pandemic hit, my fiance lost his job, and because of that has decided to go back to school. So now we are a little bit tighter on our budget. I'm wondering if you think it would be worth it to cancel the venue that we are at and try to find something closer in town, so that we don't have to pay for an expensive shuttle service, and so we don't have to worry about as many details. It probably won't be quite as special. We would love to have our dance party concert in the woods. I'm just worried that we've bitten off more than we can chew. So I would love to hear your opinions on that. Our new wedding will be in May of 2022. So while we have quite a bit of time between now and then, I know that places are getting booked very quickly. So I would love to hear your take on this. All right. Well, thank you so much. And I can't wait to hear what you have to say. All right. Bye.
All right. Oh, Caitlin. We're in a little bit of a debacle. We're in a little bit of a limbo, maybe.
It's a pickle. It's a situation. It's going to be one of many decisions you make in wedding planning, though, that is a compromise, you know, ultimately, and potentially a sacrifice. And also, this is a good example of, because we mentioned Chelsea's episode earlier, but this is a good example of, like, these are kind of adult decisions when it comes to wedding planning that you and your partner might be making together collaboratively, thinking of joint finances and each of your priorities and desires. So it might be the first time that you're doing that. A lot of times the wedding is the project that the, you know, two humans try to get on the same page with to do. And it's not always roses and ribbons and unicorns and all the things. Like, there's some decisions that are going to be kind of tough and some circumstances that are tough.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right, Christy. I mean, you when you said that, I got to thinking about buying a home together, buying a car together, whether or not, you know, if your child is sick, like, do you take them to the doctor at this point?
Yeah.
Do you wait it out? Like,
or having children. I mean, even there's the big decisions
children,
and there's
yeah.
all the little decisions. And
right.
This is kind of one of the big ones. It takes a long time. to get done, and it's a lot of money. No matter how much your wedding costs, it's a lot of money to you because proportionally, you know, it's just a big percentage. And losing a job and the idea of like maybe going into debt potentially or putting things on credit card or dealing with the like overall attitude of like, oh, we'll just figure it out later. That can be very stressful. And I'm talking the kind of stress that like makes you wake up in the middle of the night or too early in the morning thinking we've made the wrong decision. And as I was listening to this, I was like, ooh, I got some advice because I'm like the queen of biting off, feeling like I've bitten off more than I can chew. Mm. But it's not always deliberate. I just find myself in situations with timing, and a lot of it has to do with my husband's job that just like is inconveniently changing and it'll screw up whatever I had planned. But to where I'm in the situation, like I have to deal with more than I can chew, but I tend to be very independent and kind of thrive in that. Like I can do this, I can do it all. A lot of people are not. And I was listening to this thinking there is no price tag you can put on like peace of mind in your life or doing wedding planning or anything that's like, oh, this is going to be a little bit of an uphill climb. If dropping this venue will save you for the next year, thinking about money, being a little too anxious, regret, wondering if you made all the other things that go with it. Now we have to do shuttles. Now we have to think about which shuttles. Now we're going to have to bring out, you know, extra stuff because it's kind of remote, whatever it is. If making the decision to make a compromise with yourselves and go for another venue will free up some space in your brain and your psyche and your emotional bandwidth, there's value to that. Like, do not forget that there is value to that. As we get older, we have to protect like what we know about ourselves. If this is going to make you crazy, and Michelle and I can't tell you if it is or not, like what kind of person you are, but if you know that about yourself, if this is going to be a heavy thing for the next year, I think you should back out and find a new venue. Because as you said, like, oh, it's not until 2022, that made me think like, great, you have time on your side. The flip of that is that's a long time to feel crappy about something.
Yeah, it is. It is. I agree with you. Your dance party concert was the exciting part and this location that you found. But it is in May of 22. So arguably they've got a year, and you are correct, Caitlin. 22 is going to be booked. It's getting booked. So I agree with Christy. I'm normally the kind of person that's like, let's make this happen. How can we make this happen? But I do agree. And let's also get you grounded here. The thing is, you're getting married. The thing is, you are two people coming together. You are creating a union. We've said this a million times. We will say it a million more. The wedding is only as much fun as those two people are having. The wedding is only the beginning. It is the marriage that is the most important. So celebrate your marriage, but don't do it in a way where you're already starting off stressing out about money, because there's plenty of time for that to happen, girl, okay? Let me just tell you right now. Mm. Do it in a way where you feel like you are honoring and celebrating the marriage, but you're doing it in a way that you feel good about and that you feel like, I heard you when you were like, oh, it's a windy road. It's going to be windy. We got to figure out transportation. Transportation in and of itself is really hard. It is no easy thing. It's complicated. It can be done. It does get done. But you are adding, you know, a lot to your plate here. And the venue is kind of far. So I agree. I'm thinking, Caitlin, just start exploring the availability of venues that might be a little less pricey and a little less logistically, so that you feel good about your decision. See what's out there. Also,
see if something else is exciting. There might be something else that's like, oh, this is actually
you can just have a dance party anywhere. I mean, you can have a, you're going to have a dance party. It might not be a huge concert out in the middle of nowhere in the woods, but, you know, maybe save that for your 10-year anniversary or something, you know, when you guys are doing real good. Maybe it'll be in your own big, huge house where you have a, you're out in the woods. Who knows? But I think that for you in particular, I can tell that it's going to maybe settle your nerves a lot, a little bit, you and your partner's nerves, if you can change courses a little bit here, change direction, make things a little more simple and a little more budget friendly and still celebrate and have your dance party.
Yeah. And I wanted to also, because I like the like grounding that you just did, right? What is really important here. And I wanted to be honest about, for us to be honest about what we see working with all these people when it comes to budgets and like projections and estimating how much you're going to spend. The truth is a lot of people spend a little more than they think they will. And things really add up in the last part of wedding planning when you start to finalize details with vendors, where it can start to feel like you're hemorrhaging money that you weren't expecting to a little bit, like, oh, now we have to add this or we didn't think about this. And it's little things, but they do start to add up. And a lot of times the overall motto at that point is like, well, we've already spent so much. What's a couple more hundred or a couple more thousand? And that feels kind of draining also. So going a little bit above budget, if, you know, and now you're in a different financial situation with him having lost his job. So that's doable and you can figure that out. Going a lot over what you have, and that might not even be your budget, but just what you're capable of, that's where we want to like, we encourage you to pull back because you're starting a life together. You're starting a new family, the two of you, whether you have kids or not. So doing that with a lot of credit card debt for one day or feeling like you owe your parents something if they're helping to pay, like that's just, have the wedding that you're able to have. Like try hard to stay within your means because it really will, the day will be wonderful because you two are wonderful. It's staying as close as you can to a budget will help you during the wedding planning and afterwards when you're reevaluating your finances.
After, yeah. All right, there you go. And now it's time for one of our lovely sponsors, Zola, Z-O-L-A, Zola.com has been our longest running supporter of this podcast, and we really value them and appreciate them. And we also recommend them to our clients and to all of you listening, Zola.com.
Zola makes wedding planning easier and less stressful. What were we just talking about? We probably said the word stressful more times than we usually do in this episode, but that's what we're trying to avoid. So Zola makes wedding planning easier and less stressful by creating everything couples need all in one place, wedding vendors, save the dates and invitations, free wedding websites, an awesome registry, and more.
Yes, so you can find wedding vendors in your area, fast-tracking your search for the right venue, photographer. All the vendors are pre-screened. You can skip endless back and forth with vendors who aren't right for you. This is a clutter-free experience, by the way, with no ads when looking for your vendors on Zola.
Yes, and explore all of the save the dates and the invitations. We love that it can match and coordinate with a wedding website, which is something we highly recommend right now, especially with all these plans changing all of the time.
Yes, those free wedding websites, they are a must now. You can host virtual events on Zola for free. There are hundreds of beautiful designs, all with matching save the dates and invitation. And it just takes minutes to get these things set up.
And of course, you can build your registry on Zola. This is how they started. And there's an amazing support network with Zola. You want to talk to an actual person, you will talk to an actual person who really understands what it's like to plan a wedding.
So go to Zola.com/bigwedding today and use promo code SAVE50 50. That's save 50 to get 50% off your save the dates. You can also get free personalized paper samples before you purchase. That's zola.com/bigwedding, promo code save 50. Thank you once again, Zola.
So another voicemail.
Yeah, we don't have a name on this one, but we do have some advice for you. So take a listen.
Hi, Christy and Michelle. I'm so excited to be calling you. I've been listening to all of your podcast episodes, and I love all of them. They're so informative. I just had a question, needed some advice. So my fiance and I are getting married, and we're having a brunch wedding. But his family is used to having really big weddings that kind of carry on into the early morning. And so his dad wants to have a second party after the actual brunch wedding. But I don't want to do that. I'm not really that comfortable with having a large group of people get together just quite yet, especially with COVID. And I'm not really sure how to tell his dad or how to communicate exactly that why I don't want this second party afterward. I think my fiance has talked to him a little bit about it, but I don't think that he's put his foot down exactly. But I just need some help on, like some advice. So maybe to try to get him to kind of see, like our point of view on the second party. And we do want to have a second, bigger party reception type of celebration, but it would be maybe like a year from now or so, once it's like actually okay to be gathering in large groups, and we don't have to wear masks. So just, I appreciate any advice you have. Thank you so much. Bye.
People all trying to put their desires for a wedding on the couple getting married. That's like 50% of our questions from listeners in one way or another.
Yeah. This just sounds like a family that's used to having big ass parties late into the night, which you are not doing and you are not comfortable doing.
There's another email in this same episode, if you listen for five more minutes, that is also very similar to this. So you're going to get double advice from us. But
the bottom line is this: you are not comfortable with it. You said that your fiance has not put the foot down. It's hard to do this when, you know, mom and dad, they just want to have an awesome event. Like from their perspective, listen, we just want to have a great wedding. We want the family to have fun.
Everyone's
going to
be here.
Your cousins are coming in from out of town. You know, grandma, of course, she's still alive. You know, they're going to give you all the guilt. And it's not coming from a bad place. That's what's hard to say. That's why it's hard to say no, right? Like when my dad wants to have a party, you know, it's hard to say no. But here's the bottom line. You are not to put yourself in a position where you need to convince them. Okay? Just keep that in your head when you're ready to talk about this. I am not here to give you my reasoning nor try to convince you to change your mind, mom and dad. I'm just letting you know we're not doing it. Or I'm just letting you know we're having the wedding brunch and that is it. That's all. End of story. And they're going to want to keep the, but you, no, I'm sorry. I'm not engaging in this. I love you so much. I'm not okay with this. And I'm not here to give you my side or tell you why. It's just not happening.
And guests won't expect it to happen because you're going to be very clear about what the wedding day consists of when you invite them. So that would be the time for the parents to understand that they are not to, on their own, invite this other, you know, party. And
they might
put you in that situation.
You know, they might be like, fine, we're going to have a party anyway. Okay. They can have a party. You're not going to be there. and you're not going to have it on your shoulders that if someone gets sick, it's because of your wedding. If you're not okay with this, that is perfectly fine. There, you know what I mean? Like, this is your decision. And there are thousands of people out there that have made the same decision you have. You know what feels right to you. You know what's in your heart. And that is what it is.
It's, yeah, you have to stand up for yourself. It's not her parents, though. It's his parents, right?
Or I know.
I don't know if it's it's her fiance's parents. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
but I mean, it's, and it doesn't have to be him to say it either, because there's going to be many of times in your marriage, you're becoming you are a family now. They are his parents biologically. They are yours by marriage. They at some point will respect you and know that, you know, you have limitations and you're strong-willed and you're willing to stand by them. I'm not saying be rude or disrespectful to them. It's not about that. Don't go out there with your chest all puffed up either.
Yeah, but you can be firm and, like, it's actually not up for discussion is what I liked that advice.
Yeah, that's just it. I mean, you know, if you put yourself into – I've learned this because I've done it many times. If you put yourself in a position where you automatically start giving them your reasons and you're off the bat defending yourself, you've lost. It's just, this is what we're doing. Thanks. I love you guys. This is what we're doing. That's it. And it's hard, by the way. It's hard. And your palms are going to be sweaty and you're going to be all tense and it's hard. But once it's done and you'll feel good about it eventually. You will. I promise.
And it is healthy to set boundaries early on in your relationship.
Yeah. Because if you have kids, if you do, but like whatever decisions you go forward making as a responsible adult couple, you know, you may ask for their advice in the future and that's when you'll want it and get it. But if you don't go into marriage that way, they're going to be constantly injecting what they think that you should do for the rest of your married lives together. All right.
Good luck. Keep us posted.
Yeah. And now, our final sponsor for this episode, who is also quite lovely. We like them a lot. Our husbands like them on their hands.
Also been around a while.
They've been around a while. Manly Bands, manlybands.com. These are bands, which are called Manly Bands, but they really are for whatever pronoun you are, because there's all different sizes, colors, metals, woods. Like, they've got something for everyone.
And there's a ton of stuff you can customize. So you should head to the website even as we're reading this ad, because you're going to see what we're so excited about. Super easy, big time on customer service. And if you want, you can order the ring sizer first. This will ensure that the ring will fit perfectly. Michelle, you got one of these.
Yes, we got one. And it really is great. It's so good. No questioning what the size is.
And then once you know the size, it's time for the extra fun part. You go online, look at this insane selection of materials. Michelle mentioned gold and wood, also dinosaur bone. And every time I read that, I think, do they really have dinosaur bone? And the answer is yes.
Yes, they do. They do have dinosaur bones. And meteorites. What? Antlers. Antlers, steel. I mean, come on. The sky's the limit.
Whiskey barrels.
Whiskey barrels in the Jack Daniel's whiskey barrel collection. And they have a Pride collection. When you go on the website, just search up Pride collection. Again, something for everyone. Once that you have selected your Manly Band, there's free shipping worldwide and a 30-day exchange policy and a free warranty. So it's all good stuff. It's good.
So to order Manly Bands and get 21% off, yes, 21, plus a free silicone ring, go to manlybands.com/bigwedding. That's manlybands.com/bigwedding. One word, two words put together, big wedding, for 21% off Manly Bands, the best damn rings, period.
All right. Here we go.
We're right on time.
We got another question. We're right on time. Email. Let me read it. So, I naively assumed, since I like my future in-laws, that there would be no wedding planning drama. That's funny.
Oh, hilarious.
Come on, people. There is tons of information out there about dealing with this in general, but I was wondering if you could help me with a very specific situation. Prepare for word vomit.
I love that.
My partner and I proposed that the night before the wedding, we would have a small rehearsal dinner at a restaurant with our wedding parties and immediate families, and then we would host welcome drinks for all of our out-of-town guests after the official dinner, and it would be super casual. Beers in his parents' backyard and maybe some desserts. We felt confident asking to use his parents' backyard because they used it for his brother's whole rehearsal, and it was a really heavy lift for them since his mom cooked all the food. So we figured our ask of just buying some cases of beer and setting them out would seem extremely reasonable compared to that.
Best laid plans.
They came back to us saying that they don't want us to use their backyard because they want to host a their side of the family only party that night. We also learned that this was what was supposed to happen during his brother's wedding weekend, but his sister-in-law ended up inviting a lot of people without them knowing, and it really pissed off his mom. Yes.
Like her own family.
It really pissed his mom off because his sister-in-law's family ended up eating all the food and taking all the chairs, in quotes. We're totally fine not being able to use their backyard if they don't want us to. It will be easy enough to find a bar to hang out at. We're not fine with the fact that they want to host a one-side-only party the night before our wedding when we wanted to host a combined event so people could get to know each other before the big day. I also think it will be weird for them to leave the rehearsal dinner and be like, bye, we're going to host a party that none of you are invited to. We also don't want to have to choose which family to hang out with that night, split our time between multiple events, or separate ourselves to each hang out with our respective, quote, sides. It's our wedding weekend. People should be coming to us and to our official events, not hosting competing exclusionary events. Yes. I'm having my partner handle all of the direct communication with his parents. He reiterated that we want everyone to be together and got, that's what the wedding is for, as a response.
Oof.
He suggested that they host it the day before the rehearsal or host it as a brunch instead. They don't want to because not everyone will have flown in yet. We are still going to host welcome drinks and invite everyone. But if we do that, we can't leave our event to attend theirs like they want us to. And it would be making his family choose between us and his parents, which just feels really sticky to me. Do you have any advice on how to handle this or what we should do? My partner and I are completely on the same page here, and we both want to hang out with all of our guests. Personally, I'm feeling a little offended that they are being so exclusionary of my side, and I don't think it sets up a good base for inner family relations. Oh, that's just so annoying.
I know. And she's totally right. I mean,
she's so right.
All her questions herself, or at least her opinions are very similar to ours.
Get me on the phone with these. What is going on here?
So I actually said, yes, this is sticky. And honestly, his mom, your future mother-in-law, sounds a little bit like my own mom.
Really?
My mom, in that, like, my mom loves to host, but she's very particular and more now in her later years about, like, who she's hosting.
Okay.
When things don't go according to her plan, like, she never forgets it. So the idea of the in-laws being like, well, that was what we were supposed to do for your brother, but then his wife invited all of her friends, and then they ate all the meatballs out of the crock pot. You know, like, my mom, too, would remember that. And I said, And I love my mom so much, and she is amazing in so many ways, but she is set in her ways, I should say that. So she never forgets things, like if she's been wronged, or if, you know, when you have a party and you're like, that was shitty, I learned my lesson, we're not inviting those people over again, or I'm not going to let people go in the house when everybody's swimming. Like, you learn, and then you adjust it for the next party. Well, my mom learns and then adjusts it in such a way that she's like stiff-arming it, and there's no flexibility. My mom's the kind of mom that's like, let's have them over. Do you think they have to bring their kids? And I'm like, yeah, mom, they probably have to bring their kids. Like, they, you know, who's going to watch them? Like, you know, that kind of. So this family sounds like they want what they want, even if it's not convenient, polite, or something that everyone agrees is a good idea, which you clearly do not. So here are the things I would suggest. A lot of them you guys have already done. Or I said the things that I would suggest you guys are already doing, so good for you, but that means I feel like I won't be much help here. Everything I would suggest, you've already outlined. I think the only thing left to do is to go in stronger one more time, like, this is not okay with you, and you have your own backup plan, knowing what you're going to do if you do not convince her to change the plans or relent. So I think your fiance needs to sit down with his parents, and I think you should be there too, but basically he needs to set it up and insist and make it clear this party, this potential our side only party, directly conflicts with your own plans for the night before your own wedding. The rehearsal brings two families together so that they can get to know each other before the big day. This day, your wedding day, involves two humans committing to become a new family together. That's two. Two individuals with two different families all coming together to celebrate the same thing. So you both need to be honest with his parents that this is just not going to work for you. The night before the wedding and the wedding day will be mixed affairs. Families will mingle. People can make their own plans around your two events, of course, but there should not be two events that
happening at the same time
where you can only be competing. At one.
That's so ridiculous.
It's a direct conflict. It's a direct conflict. So you're going to see if they'll reconsider kind of your last ditch conversation, or, you know, everybody goes, and you need to frame it so that they understand that your idea of this whole wedding weekend is for, it's an opportunity for all of the families to get to know each other, and hopefully they'll be excited about getting to know people. You don't just cluster with your own. All that being said, I don't actually have too much optimism that you're going to have like a firm conversation and they're going to be like, okay, we get it. We won't. So I think you need to be ready to just move through wedding planning yourself with your own decisions if they don't budge. And in that case, you just embrace a plan. And here's the basics of the plan. There's a rehearsal. There's a small rehearsal dinner. You do welcome drinks at a bar, and you do the wedding the next day.
Yep.
Their plans, if they have something at their house, will not be something that you deal with at all. Like, do not even think about it. If you do that, I have a feeling that the welcome drinks part of the night will end up being family from both sides that just pop in. Or you know how people intend to pop in and then they end up staying for 3 hours? Like, that happens. You're like, oh, we'll just go for one drink. We'll say hi and then we'll leave. Well, maybe you never leave. So it'll be a lot of people from out of town plus your family. If nobody from his side of the family comes to these after rehearsal drinks because they're all at a barbecue at his house, that's fine. But you have to be fine with it, like, ahead of time, like, have accepted it. The wedding weekend doesn't have to be everyone hanging out as a big group the entire time. You have to know and trust that your friends and family will want to come hang out with you and be social with you. So maybe his mom has some social anxiety. Maybe she's just stubborn. You cannot control what other people do, which we say all the time. But you have to make your plans. So you send out your invitations, you map out your wedding weekend, and then plan on having a wonderful time. I think it's a bummer his parents are acting like this, but I don't want you to let it become more than it needs to be. Have one last discussion, see what they're going to do, and then have yourself an awesome wedding weekend, regardless of their plans.
You need to, I really feel like she need, like you said, she needs to be there on this sit down, and she needs to express how much she loves them as in-laws, how much she respects them, but that, and look them in the eyes. And, you know, if you get emotional, you do, and say, I'm sorry, I'm feeling like you are excluding me and my side of the family. Well, maybe not me, because you're asking me to be there, but there is no way I'm going to go to an event the night before my wedding without my family there.
But it seems absolutely like they don't even care if they come or not. The family doesn't.
She said that they want them to go to it. Didn't she say in her earlier that they want her and him to go to this event? Or did I read that wrong? Either way, you need to let them know that this is something that is really like hitting you in a spot where you're feeling like you are not being considered, or you are not being valued, or frankly loved as much as you thought you were loved by this family, and that this is going to create a lot of problems for you. And, you know, please reconsider this. Please consider our feelings. And then, you know, outside of that, like Christy said, do your thing, do your thing. And then it's, you know, it's going to be a pain in the ass is that if his parents have this event and then they have their event and everybody's getting invited, all the guests are going to get confused and be texting and emailing you and be like, what's going on? And you're just going to have to say like, yeah, they're doing that. It's not what we want. We'd like you to come to our event. And unfortunately, like, that's the position you're going to be put in, but it is what it is. So I'm sorry.
You know,
I'm really sorry to hear this.
In saying that, to my mom's credit, my cousin had a very big wedding, and our family, if you've heard me talk about it before, we go big with weddings. Like, many aunts and uncles and cousins fly in, and my dad's side of the family does this thing where they all don't rent rental cars. They just want to be picked up and like driven places. So it's like a lot of family time. And we did throw an after wedding party the next day after this big wedding. And it was in July, and it was a pool party. And it was like our family mostly, but 100% the groom and his family were invited and welcomed. And we only expected the bride, who I'm related to come kind of for a little bit, thinking like it's the day after her wedding. Like, it's a, you know, my mom was hosting this and she did a lot of work for it, but she included everyone. And there were people there that I had never met before. And I saw them walking around our house, and I knew it made my mom a little bit uncomfortable, but she understood you can't just have a one side of the family party after a wedding or before a wedding. It's just no bueno.
No bueno. All right. We have a quick last question to cap this off. This was a long one. Really quickly, what is a good tip for a wedding planner? It seems like the advice out there is up to $500. Wasn't sure why it was capped at $500, but was wondering if there are exceptions to giving more than $500. Are there times when you give a percentage of the wedding planning fee and it goes over $500? Trying to make sure I compensate my wedding planner fairly and giving her a good tip without breaking the bank or looking like I'm unappreciative.
I mean, this is so great. We love questions like this because you're thinking of that. I said, I did ask how much the wedding planner's fee is total, and if that includes 10 hours on the wedding day, or, and I asked that because if it only includes 8, but you know she's going to probably stay for 10, a lot of times the overtime is never charged. I can speak for myself there. So it's good to kind of compensate for any overtime that you know is going to happen. Also, you tip people who do a great job. It is not a mandatory thing in any way. Do not plan on just arbitrarily tipping everybody involved if they don't do a great job for you. It's bonus. It's a bonus for every vendor. A $400 to $500 tip is probably most typical for me. But that would be for my like month of contracts, which are approximately $3,000. If that gives you an idea of like scope, I've gotten more, I've gotten less. I sometimes don't get any tip at all. All tips are appreciated. If I have an assistant on the day of and the couple doesn't also tip her a little bit directly, I will give her usually 100, 50 to 100 from the tip I get. So that's another thing to keep in mind. if you're putting together a tip, ask if she's going to have an assistant. When I have gotten tips that are more than 1,000, or sorry, more than 500, so usually they're around 1,000, it's either because the couple is very well off, and so 1,000 means maybe a little bit less to them. It's not as big of a deal, or because my fee was higher, like it was a full planning or partial planning, and they're basing their tips on like a 15 to 20% rate. So that was kind of my, in a nutshell, for tipping for planners. What do you think, Michelle? Sometimes we get gifts.
Yeah, no, I agree. It depends on what level of service the planner is giving, what they're charging, and how happy you are with the work that he or she has done for you. But yeah, I mean, it should always be a 10 or 15 to 20% tipping rate, right? It's like when you go to a restaurant or when, you know, things like that, like 15 to 20%. And yeah, it is, you know, generally 400 or 500. I mean, I don't do month of anymore. I only do full planning. So 15 to 20% of that rate is quite higher. I always recommend, and I always let my clients know how many assistants are going to be with me on the wedding day. And I do recommend that they get, you know, 50 to 100 per assistant, because my assistants are there with me a good 10 hours as well. So, I mean, and actually, honestly, my assistants usually get a little bit more. So it depends. It depends on what your budget is as a couple, and your wedding planner knows that. And it depends on what that wedding planner is charging you, but 15 to 20% is a pretty good, it's a great rate. And gifts are also lovely. You know, ultimately I've gotten some cash with a gift from clients, which is just lovely. It's very thoughtful. And I always think like, wow, that takes a lot of, you know, effort on your end, and you've already got so much going on planning this wedding. So yeah.
There you go.
Good question. And I'm really happy that you're thinking about this. It's really thoughtful of you. And it's important. So woof, that was another big one. Huge, huge.
And if
so much wedding stuff.
So much. And we had many, many emails that didn't make it into this one. So if you've been listening from the beginning and you're wondering, is there anything I can do to help Christy and Michelle bury that negative review? Well, yes, there is. You can leave a positive review and then it will be on top of the negative one. So that's our little CTA.
We already have a couple on top of it. Wish me a shit. But yes, any review, we do appreciate. Christy less than me. But whether positive or negative, you know, and I would also, I've said this before, send us an email. If you feel like there's something we should be improving on, or if you have serious thoughts, we really do appreciate some well thought out, constructive interaction and communication. Seriously.
That I can get behind. I will stamp that for sure.
Because it's an actual dialogue, and it's lovely, and it's not trying to throw other people off of this podcast. It's not feeling like we are doing something awful and therefore don't listen. Or if you feel that way, go ahead and throw up a 1-star review. But either way, we appreciate you all, and we appreciate having the opportunity to give you some of us every week. So thank you for listening. Tell a friend, say hi to your mom for us, and happy planning.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
The Big Wedding Planning Podcast is hosted and produced by me, Christy Matthews, and Michelle Martinez. It is edited by Veronica Gruba. Music by Steph Altman of Mophonics. If you like the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, please subscribe. We are available for free on pretty much all podcast player apps. Help us get the word out by rating and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts.
Follow us on Instagram at The Big Wedding Planning Podcast, and be sure to use the hashtag PlanThatWedding when posting. Become part of our Facebook group. Join us and our amazing members. Just search The Big Wedding Planning Podcast Community on Facebook. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com, or you can call and leave us a voicemail at 415-723-1625, and you might hear your voice on a future episode. That is it. Happy planning, everybody. Christy, Love you, love your show.
Bye.